Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day. All the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, fathers-to-be, stepfathers, if you're one of those, stand up. I want to say thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all the different ways that you provide and care for your families, and you are worthy to be blessed today and to be honored today. Amen. You can be seated. Today I have a Father's Day message. You know, sometimes being a dad is a challenge. And I have this receiver in my pocket. I hope that's okay. It's not easy being a dad. It's not easy being a godly dad. A good dad. And we got this idea for Father's Day, you know, everything is wanting to be rated. And so, you know, if you do a Google review or if you visit a restaurant or some kind of a store and they want feedback on, you know, how we did, and they ask you to give them a rating of 1 star up to 5 star. And of course, 5 star is the best. And I got to thinking, I wonder how dads would be rated by their wives or by their children when it comes to being a dad, right? And something happened yesterday with my daughter, Jacqueline. She and Chance brought the kids out to spend the night, and Tammy has done some rearranging of things out at our house, and she had a new picture, I guess, in the bathroom that got Jacqueline's attention. It was a picture. It was a fisherman's boat with the picture of me baptizing two of my sons. And she wasn't in the picture. And she brought it in to me and she said, "Hey, where's my picture? We got baptized all at the same time." And I didn't have an answer. I don't know. It's her fault because she displayed that picture without my permission. And knowing that I was preaching on this today, I said, "Did my rating drop?" She said, "A star and a half." So this message is for me as much as it is for all of you. I'm going to try to earn that star and a half back before the day's over. Amen? So, honey, would you find her picture? Now, I think most men would be honest enough to say that, yeah, we're probably not going to be rated as high as we think we should, as much as we deserve. And so a good question to ask, if this is of interest to you, if you care about your rating, is ask your children, what kind of rating, right? And if it's not a perfect 5, ask your children, what could I have done to earn a 5-star rating? Fathers, have that honest conversation with your kids. What could Daddy do to earn a higher rating? And then listen to what they say. Now, some of your kids are going to just think you hit it out of the park even though you've never gotten to bat. And just leave that alone. But as your kids get older, they tend to be a little more honest with you. And just listen. Now, are we have kids in here? So kids, don't be mean to your dads. Don't say 1. At least start out with a 3. Give them a chance, right? Give them a chance. And so today I'm gonna talk about dads. I'm gonna talk about things that we can do to earn a 5-star rating. It's never too late to make some changes and to make a difference in your kid's life because they are worth it. Would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for fathers. Thank you for godly fathers. And Lord, I don't know if every father in this room feels like they're a godly father, but they can. They can be. And I pray that we would all have ears to hear what you say to us today, and that we would leave room in our heart to change and to start doing some of the things maybe that we know to do but don't do, or maybe we don't even know we should be doing. And I pray that this message would help dads get a 5-star rating. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is talking about family relationships between, you know, parents and children, and he starts off with the children. Verse 1, children, if you're a children, raise your hand. Wave it at me. Let me see you. Come on. Okay. Listen, children. He starts with you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So, what does Paul tell children to do? To obey and honor. Obey means do what they say. The first time, you know, if you're in grade school or middle school, you shouldn't have mom and dad counting to three. Just do it the first time. It will be well with you and you will live a long time. Who thinks that's pretty good? You know, back when this was written, kids could be stoned to death for not obeying. And so, in comparison, time out or a little swat on the butt is a pretty good deal. And so y'all can all look at your fathers and say, thank you for not stoning me. Then Paul turns his attention to the parents, specifically fathers, who should be the authority figure in the home. Now, we have split homes, and so if you're a single mom, this verse is also directed to you as the spiritual authority in your home. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what does Paul tell fathers to do? Don't provoke your children to anger. Don't tick them off. Don't be so hard on them that they want to hate you. Right? Or they might comply outwardly, but inwardly they go into rebellion. So find out, what am I doing that would cause them to do that? Pay attention to that. And then it says, what else? Discipline them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. You know, back when this was written, the Roman men had property rights over their family members, over their wives and over their kids. And that came out of a Roman law called patria or patria potestas, which means a father's power. And the father was given power to do whatever he wanted to do with his wife and kids. And so if you made dad mad and he didn't, you know, have the right heart or the right mind, he could disown you. He could get rid of you. He could kill you. He could stone you. And so when a baby was born, they would place the baby at the father's feet. And if the father bent over and picked the baby up, it meant he was going to accept this child. But if he looked at the child and if for some reason didn't want it, he would just simply walk away and abandon that child. And then he could do whatever he wanted. They could get rid of the child, sell it, or whatever. And so, children, aren't you glad your father's picked you up and accepted you? Amen? But not every kid today can say that. There's a lot of kids today that are abandoned by their dads. They have absentee dads. There's 24 million kids woke up this morning without a daddy to give them a hug. And so, dads, can I just challenge you that hugging your kids every day is very, very important to your kids and probably important to you and your family. And so would you not forget the simple things, the pats on the back, the high fives? I'm constantly doing that with my children and my grandchildren. You know, we're fist bumping, we're knuckles, and we're high fives, and we're hugs, and we're kisses. And you just can't give your kids enough of that. So this morning I want to share with you five thoughts or five things you can do to be a five-star dad. The first one is something you should not do or quit doing. The other four are things that you should do or keep doing. So here's number one, don't provoke your kids to anger, and it comes from that first verse we just read. And I think Paul started there because he knew that fathers had authority, And with authority comes responsibility. And you can overstep your boundaries of authority. You can abuse people with your authority. You can mistreat your children with the authority that you have. And so he starts off by saying, here's one thing I don't want you to do. I don't want you to provoke your children to anger. I don't want you to do something, you know, continually or excessively that would cause your children to resent you or the authority that you have. In other words, I don't want you to do things that would cause your children to become angry or discouraged or rebellious. And I made a list of some things for some of you guys that don't maybe know, you know, what am I doing that could do that? Well, here's just a couple things you might want to write down on your notes. Overprotection. You can be too controlling, right? And you give them a curfew and, you know, they're a few minutes late. You might give them the same grace that your wife gives you when you're late for dinner. Don't be too legalistic. Don't be too hard on them, right? Or don't set the boundaries too tight, especially when they get older, grade school, middle school, right? High school. You know, they shouldn't have an 8 p.m. curfew. Come on. Because when you go overprotecting, when you go over-controlling, it's gonna breed something inside of them that's gonna say, I can hardly wait to leave this place. They may not come back for a while. And you might say amen to that, but they may never come back. At what point you really are grieving about that? So overprotection is one of them. Also, overprotecting kind of gives a signal that you don't trust them. Well, if he doesn't trust me, then why should I try to do it his way or the right way anyway, right? So overprotecting is one. The opposite would be permissiveness, giving your kids too much room to mess up, having no curfew, letting them run around with whoever they want to run around with. In other words, letting the kids be the CEO of the family is just as dangerous. They don't need that either. They'll take it and run with it if you let them have it, but they don't need it, and they know they don't need it. They'll get in trouble if you don't have some boundaries in place. Favoritism, especially between one child and the next. You know, my kids used to always play that card with me. We have one girl and three boys, and the boys would always say, you love Sissy more than us. I said, I do. What are you going to do about it? And they'd stop and think, they go, no, you don't. I said, okay, then quit saying stupid things like that. Or unrealistic goals. Don't set the bar too high. Set the bar where they can achieve it and be successful. And then as they take those steps, raise the bar a little higher, a little higher. But don't raise the bar so high. We don't want perfect children. We want children that can succeed. We want children that can get over the bar that you set. So set it at a level where you know they can get over it. Discouragement. You know, we're always catching them when they do things wrong. But let's start catching them when they do things right. And let's give them 5 pats on the back for every swat on the butt. Right? That will encourage your kids. Hey, I saw you when you did that. I noticed that. That was really awesome. You know, last night all the family went down to the boat. And I was just in a mood where I didn't want to get on a boat with 15 kids under 8. And so I did the daddy duty. I stayed up at the top with the 2 youngest boys. And that helped everybody else that was on the boat. All the moms didn't have to worry about the 2 youngest boys. And so I was going to try some of my material out on these 2-year-olds. And I said, hey, guys, can y'all pick? I mean, the room was a mess. It had 1,000 toys on the floor, and there was one bucket to put all the toys in. And I got 2 2-year-olds to pick up the whole mess and put them in the bucket. It is possible, parents. It is possible. I didn't touch one of those toys. But you know what I did? I started applauding them. Come on, boys, you can do this. Come on. And one of them would put it in. I'd go, yeah, come on. And then he kept doing it. Well, the other one was watching like, well, I don't want him to get all the praise. So Jackson started putting his toys in. I was sitting there applauding them. Come on, you can do this. We're going to have a winning team and all this. And they did it. I think I'm going to write a book on parenting. Encouragement goes a long way. Start encouraging your kids and see how much less discipline they need. Amen. Neglect. right? Never being there. I'm going to talk about that. Never being there. You got to spend time with them. You need to find out, what are your needs? What do you need? What is something your daddy can do for you or give you? Let me know what your needs are, right? And then excessive discipline. They need some discipline, but they don't need too much, right? You don't want to throw your weight around. In fact, if you'll do a better job of leading with love, you'll need to discipline less. And so remember, our kids are commanded to honor us, but don't provoke them to anger, because that would produce emotions in them that would do just the opposite. And so treat your children in a way where they would want to honor you and show respect. Amen? So don't provoke your kids to anger. Here's number two, provide nurture. Provide nurture. And that's kind of what I just talked about. It's not just mothers that nurture. Fathers need to nurture as well. It says don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that phrase, bring them up, kind of leans towards spend time with them. Fathers, spend time with them. Remember, this was written to fathers, right? Fathers, bring your children up. Bring them up in the ways of the Lord. That means you have to spend time with them. You have to be present. You have to be engaged in their life. You have to have conversations. You need to listen. You know, what do kids say about most parents? They'll say, you don't even care about me. You don't even love me. It's because they don't feel like you're engaged in their life. Most kids feel like daddy loves to work more than he loves to spend time with them. And so fathers, we have to be really intentional. Yes, we do love to work. That's how we were wired. But God said, I've given you these children, and it's your job to raise these children in the way that I've commanded you to do it. That's also your job, and I would say it's a higher priority than what you do for a living. Amen. Nurture. Years ago, Tammy and I went to a parenting conference when we were raising our kids because we needed help. And I remember them mentioning what they call triple A treatment. You might want to write this down. Three A's. Affection, attention, and affirmation. It's touch, hugging, spending time with them. It's attention, getting in their world, spending time and doing things they enjoy. And then affirmation, the things that come out of your mouth, will build them up or does it tear them down? Triple A treatment. And if you'll give them triple A treatment, they won't misbehave, they won't disobey as much, and you won't have to discipline as much. If you're meeting the needs they have, they'll quit going in different ways to get your attention. They'll get your attention one way or the other. But if you do it the right way, it works out. Number three, provide discipline. It says, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Some of your translations might use the word admonition, which carries with it the idea of a rebuke or a warning. For instance, Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. So fathers, you're the leader of your home, or you should be, and so you need to figure out, you and your spouse need to figure out, how are we going to discipline our kids? It doesn't always have to be a swat on the butt, but it's a good one, right? But what is it? What is it going to be, and is it going to be consistent, and are you going to have each other's back? And mothers, if dad's gone a lot and you're with the kids, you need to be the one, you're the one in authority while dad's gone, and you need to exercise that authority as soon as you see the misbehavior. Don't make dad be the bad guy. You wait till your father gets home. He's going to really give it to you. Don't make dad the bad guy. Your kids need to learn to obey mom when it's on her watch and then obey dad when he comes home. And begin to teach them to obey the first time. Quit all the counting. Because God's going to tell them to do something one time, and he may not count to three, and he may not give them a second chance. Okay? And so let's up our game when it comes to discipline. Be reasonable with it. Do it out of love. Explain to them why these are the rules, but then follow through when they put you to the test. I like the New Living Translation. If you refuse to discipline your children, it proves that you don't love them. But if you love your children, you will be prompt to discipline them. You know, some of you might think that disciplining, because it was done wrong to you by your parents, you're not going to do it at all. And this scripture says that if you don't, your kids are going to think you don't love them. So find a way to discipline your children. The goal is to get them to obey your command. Obey your instructions, right? Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Talking about an undisciplined child. Just let him do what he wants to do. Let her do what she wants to do. And they're going to bring grief to you. Amen? I'm not talking about beating your kids. I'm not talking about slapping them, punching them, reaching for whatever instrument is nearby, or grabbing whatever body part you can get hold of. I'm talking about loving, controlled discipline. And then follow through with it. And here's kind of a weird thing. Your kids won't ever ask for it. Right? It'd be stupid. Hey, Dad, I need a spanking. I've disobeyed you. But when they get it, listen, when they get it and it's done right, you know what they walk away with? My dad really does love me because he really does care about me doing it right. And he's teaching me and he's training me, and I deserve that. You know, Jake was my greatest challenge. Jake, if you're watching, I hope I have permission to share this. But years later, you know, Jake and I, he was the oldest brother, and I knew if I didn't get it right with him, I was going to lose the next two as well. He was the lesson boy, right? And his senior year was our biggest challenge. You know, we were going at it more than ever. And then he left home, and you know, my greatest fear was he'd never come back. Well, he did in 6 months. But if you were to talk to Jake now, Jake would say, "Dad, I'm so glad that you were tough on stuff like that because, number one, I needed it. Number two, I may not even be alive had you not been tough with me. And number three, now that I'm a parent, I totally get it." And so listen, discipline is something, if it's done right, can be a very loving way that you raise your kids, that you bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Amen? Number four, provide instruction. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God gave parents the responsibility to train your kids up in the ways of the Lord. Again, back when this was written, there was no youth group. There was no youth ministry. It was parents. And God said, parents, here's how you train your kids up. Here's how you raise them. You know, here at Generations Church, when we take people through membership class, normally Jacqueline or Chance will be in there to welcome them and tell them about youth ministry. And we have, who remembers the two jars with marbles? Y'all went through 101, didn't you? Remember the two jars with marbles? And one's a big jar with a lot of marbles, and one's a small jar with very, you know, fewer marbles. And the idea there is that this big jar with all these marbles, each marble represents an hour that you have with your kids in a year, about 800 hours that you have with your kids, waking hours that you have with your kids to teach them and to train them the things about successful living. And in the little church jar is about 40 marbles. We have about 40 hours a year. Roughly an hour a week, and most people come about 40 weeks a year. We have about 40 hours with your kids. You have over 800 hours with your kids. So don't leave it up to the church to do the spiritual training with your children. God gave you that. We're just here to support you and to partner with you and to encourage you and to say the same things that you're telling them at home. We're just here as your support. But we're not here as the primary teacher or instructor of your kids, right? And so parents, y'all need to find a way to spend time with your kids every week, teaching them and talking about spiritual things. When our kids were young, we had family night, one night a week. We'd all gather at the table, and we had four kids. would gather at the table, and I'd read a devotion story, and, you know, it would be a modern-day family, and one character in that story would have gotten it wrong or gotten it right, and there's a scripture that goes with it, and I would share that story, and then I'd ask questions, and reward them with dessert. If they were listening and got the answers right, they could have dessert, and if they were tuned out, they missed dessert. But it was a wonderful way for us to have conversations about ethics and values and, you know, what would you do? And that was what Tammy and I did during the week to instruct our kids in godly ways. They're either going to live in the world's ways or they're going to live in God's ways. And who knows, the world's not going to teach them God's ways. And so, parents, that's your responsibility. Fathers, you ought to take the wheel on that one. You ought to sit down with your family and say, hey, God has instructed me to raise y'all, so why don't we come up with a fun night? It has to be fun. You know, when you go fishing, you got to use the right lures, and if you're going to catch kids, you better have fun on the end of your hook. It's got to be fun. It's got to be fun. Maybe a game night, play a game, maybe read a story, right, and give out prizes for the kids that pay attention and get it right. And then when we would pray, we would do the alphabet prayer. I don't know if y'all have done this, but when we would pray for people or pray for things, I'd let one of the kids choose a letter of the alphabet. You know, and they'd try to get tricky, like Z. Okay. So we're going to pray for somebody or something that starts with a Z. And we'd just all bow our heads. We'd go around the circle. And it's funny because whoever said Z couldn't think it was Z, right? But it taught our kids to pray, and it taught them the power of praying and the purpose of praying. But we made it fun. Let them pick the letter, and then everybody has to pray for that, right? And no one can repeat somebody else. You got to come up with something new. But where are they going to learn that? I hope church is not the only place they hear spiritual things being taught or talked about in the home. Amen? Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9 says this, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. He's talking to parents. Get them inside of you and then get them inside of your children. This is the Message translation. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. Church is not even mentioned in that passage. Parents, church was not mentioned. But home was mentioned multiple times. And so it's your responsibility. The best place to teach your kids is in your home about who God is and who Christ is and how they're to live their life. Amen? And you need to get it in you so you can get it in them. So our church provides classes, and we provide children's ministries. We're here to support, we're to help you, but we're not here to do the work for you. And so parents, if you're lacking in this area and you're thinking, well, I can't give them, I don't even have it myself, you can change that. Fathers, you can change that. You can get in a men's Bible study starting this week. You and your wife can get in a life group starting this week. Well, we're taking a break for the summer. So in August, y'all can get in a life group. Find a life group. We'll help you find a life group. And start letting God get in you so you can then put it in your kids. I was brand new. I got saved after I had my first child. I knew nothing about the Bible. And if I can do it that way, you can do it with what you've got. Amen? And then number 5, provide encouragement. I mentioned it earlier. Encouragement is the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. You need to be your kids' cheerleaders, not their number one critic. You need to cheer them on. Cheer them on. From time to time, have the talk, but mostly you're cheering them on. Great job. Good job. I'm so proud of you. Your kids need it. You know, it's like a balloon. Just blow words of encouragement into their little souls. Let them hear you say the right things to them. You've got what it takes. You are so beautiful. You are so handsome. You are so strong. You know, I'm so proud of Chance and Jacqueline. They do that all the time with their kids. All the time. And they put, Jacqueline puts t-shirts on her boys that says, I am brave. I am strong. Right? And then she'll add in, you're also handsome. And the little two-year-old, I'm handsome. You know, the number one thing that a young man needs to hear is he's got what it takes to be a man, and for a girl that she's beautiful. Fathers, if you haven't told your daughter lately that she's beautiful, she will find a boy that will. So that's your job, fathers. And take your daughters on dates. Take them for ice cream. Take them to the toy store, whatever it is, depending on how old they are. But take your daughter on dates and pour that stuff into her so that if she hears it from her father, she won't need to hear it from some other man. Amen? And she'll be secure that way. So those are five things, dads, that you can do or start doing or keep doing that will give your kids what they need. And if you're doing those things well, I think you'll get a good rating. Amen? And so what do you hear God saying to you through this message today? Hopefully I don't think any of this stuff is really new material. It's just things I've forgotten. I get busy. I know these things. I'm just not doing them. James said, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of what you hear. So I'm just hoping that this will jumpstart some of you guys. Maybe many of you guys today, jumpstart you to start doing some of the things that maybe you've forgotten about. Maybe you didn't know to do these things. And start loving your children and raising them up in the way, being their spiritual leader, being their example. They're going to do what they see you do more than what they hear you say. And fathers, you need to lead by example. Malachi 4:6 reminds us that God can turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It starts with a prayer. And maybe your heart's been on business or your heart's been on your marriage or your heart's been somewhere else and not on your kids. Would you pray today, as I say, let's pray. Would you pray and say, God, would you turn my heart back to my kids and let me begin to daily give them the things that they need. You gave me that responsibility. I'm going to take it. I'm going to own it, and I'm going to do it. Would you bow your heads? For all the fathers, would you just be in agreement with me? Just raise your hand in agreement. Say, Lord, come on, let's raise it up. Lord, I'm going to be the kind of father that you've commanded me to be. Come on, lift your hand up. Get in agreement. Get in agreement. I'm going to be the kind of father you've commanded me to be. I want to be a 5-star dad. And I want to give my children nurture. I want to give them discipline. I want to give them encouragement. I don't want to provoke them to anger. And I want to give them instruction, spiritual instruction. And I want to do that by being a role model and an example for them. Starting today. Because my kids are worth it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Fathers, meet with your kids today or this week. Get into their space and say, hey, what do you need from Daddy? What do you need from Daddy? You might even be bold enough to say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 5, what kind of rating does Daddy get for being a daddy? And you know what? It might be a 1 or 2, but why don't you own that? And then ask him, what could Daddy do to get a higher rating? Let your kids grade you, dads. Humble yourself. Listen. And then focus on what they say and just see if good things don't come from that. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's all.